Thank you all for that singing. There's a lot of ministering that went on in that song service, in that worship service. And thank you, Brother Allen, for praying for me. I feel like I should just start. Maybe I can pray when we're done. I was thinking, as you were sharing, there's an amazing thought came to me. As you were praying, I was thinking, when it comes to missions, we read of different missionaries that have, when God spoke to Isaiah, you know, he said, Lord, send me. I think it was Isaiah that asked the Lord if it was him that he was sending. And we read of people like Hudson Taylor and those many different ones that have given their lives for the sake of another country. And then I think of probably the greatest missionary that ever lived was the one that that we sang about this morning. That when we prayed, said, "Look him in the face, to look him in the eyes, as he hung there on the cross." He hung there, and he gave his life for every kindred, every tongue, and every nation. And I want to apologize for my emotions this morning. So if God calls us, and we wonder if he's calling us, if we wonder if it's worth it, what we have to do is look at our example and look at the one who hung on a tree right before us, and he gave his life for each one of us. let's open our Bibles to our text in John chapter 3, starting in verse 14. John chapter 3, starting in verse 14. As and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. We want to find our text in verse 20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Now, I drew two pictures on the board here. Does anyone have any idea what this is? Raise your hand if you do. I think, John, you would be a qualified candidate for that.
It looks like something that they put on your heart to regulate.
It's a heart monitor.
Yeah.
And I'm going to call this a regular heartbeat, or a perfect heartbeat that's in rhythm with your body. That could be varied a little bit, but there is a thump every, it's a consistent thump that's very regular, that's very consistent. If you were to start running the heartbeat would pick up. Or doing any kind of exercises, it would pick up, but it would stay in rhythm with your body. It would stay in rhythm. It's doing what it's supposed to do for the good of your body. Today we want to talk about our conscience. We'll talk about our conscience. And every one of us have a monitor. Every one of us have a monitor in us, on us. It's called our conscience. And the condition of our conscience, the monitoring of our conscience, it's either got a regular, perfect heartbeat that's doing whatever it has to for the good of the body, or it's irregular, fast, or just irregular, out of rhythm. And it's not doing what it's designed to do for the body. This perfect heartbeat is designed for us to give us peace. It's for our peace, and it's for our joy, humbleness of mind, patience. The list can go on. But it has to do with the fruit of the Spirit, and it's what God gave us this conscience. God gave us a conscience for our good, so that God can communicate with us through His Word. And it's not the only thing that's attached to our heart, our conscience. Two other things are. One of them is communion, and the other one is intuition. And I'm not going to speak much on them today. I would someday like to be able to more. But for now, we're going to stay with the text here. All of these things I just described hinge on the condition of your heart. Every one of us has a monitor, if you will. And that monitor is our conscience. I spoke on this once before. I know Brother Aiden did too already, and I have no idea why the Lord prompted me to do this other than what the Lord has been doing in my own life. But I especially want to speak to you young people here today. I have young people of my own here today, and I want everyone, this meditation applies to each one of us, but especially you young people. I want to read a couple of verses that I think that is specifically talking to, pertains to our conscience. An introduction here. The first one we can find in John chapter 1. You can turn to it if you want, but in the meantime, I'm going to start reading. John chapter 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." I'm going to try to get this candle lit. I'm going to reiterate that last verse I just read. It said, that was the true light. Jesus was the true light. The Word was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And I don't care who you are this morning. I don't care how old you are this morning. But I want each one of us to know, to note, that I don't know if it was when you were conceived in your mother's womb or when you were born, but there was a man, there was a light that cometh into your light and lighteth your own personal light. That happens to every one of us. And he personally lit a light in each one of us. So if you're wondering this morning if you have a conscience or not, oh, you do. You do. We also read about it in Romans chapter 1. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also for the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That is key there. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. Here's why. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they, or everyone, is without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And it goes on there and talks about what happens to a man when he is left to himself. And though the word conscience is not used here, I'm 100% positive that he's talking about our conscience. That we should know God by the things that are made and the things that are made and seen. We should be able to know God because of that light that the Lord lit in each one of our lives. Most of us in here are second generation Christians. And the advantage that we have by being a second generation Christian is almost second to none compared to the world. The advantage that you have, young person, by being a second generation Christian is almost second to none to the world. I remember back as a teenager and as a young person, I know that my conscience was bothering me. I didn't really know what to do about it, but I didn't have the teaching that we have now. And it's a big responsibility as a father raising children to get them to know what is truth and what is right and to help them train their conscience. The reason that you have an irregular heartbeat is because you do not yet know God the way you should. And those reasons may vary from one person to another. But the Word of God applies to each one of us personally. God is not a respecter of persons. And this is where it begins, right here. In James chapter 4, verse 17, I want to keep this very, very simple. I do not want to frustrate this. I do not want to condemn anyone here. But I want to keep it very simple. James 4, verse 17, it says, therefore unto him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's what it says. That's where it begins. I remember a couple weeks ago, Aiden opened up the service and he mentioned God. When we speak the word God or when we hear the word God, what does it do to us? And it should do something to us. This morning, when I use the word sin and I attach it to your life, what does it do to you? Does it do anything? Does it mean anything? Does it cause you to stop and tremble and fear? Or does it, is it something that we're used to? The word sin. We don't have to have a degree in some Bible college, seminar, or be a theologian to know what is right and wrong. We know what is right and we know what is wrong. Our parents have taught us the difference between right and wrong. And now here you are. You're in a situation where you're about to do something where you know you probably shouldn't. Okay? I'm going to use an example here. You're in a situation where you know you shouldn't, but now you're using the word, I know I probably shouldn't. See, there's already a bribery and a reasoning going on in our mind. Many times, God wants things black and white. Many times we try to bring a little discoloration in there and try to just find a happy medium there. And so we say, instead of saying we shouldn't do this, we say, well, we probably shouldn't do this. And that's a reasoning that goes on in our minds. And so what happens is we try to tell ourselves that it'll be okay just one time. Just one time. Has any of us ever been here? I have. And I know that it never turns out right. And so we hesitate. And now we're tossed. We're tossed back and forth. And then you think about the consequence of what's about to happen. And the reasoning goes on. By the way, by this time, you already know that it's wrong. You already know what mom or dad would say. And you even know what God thinks. We do. We even know what God thinks. But still, we're not persuaded that we can't somehow get away with this. Do we realize that by now, what we are about to do is we are violating a very sacred thing called our conscience. That's what we're doing. We're violating something very sacred. This light that God lit in our lives. That's what we're violating. This light is shining truth upon it. And what we're doing is we're trying to ignore it and it just don't go away, so we blow it out. And I believe in God's goodness and God's graciousness towards us. I don't think we can blow it out as easy as we think. Even if we do appear to blow it out, I believe somehow God, the Lord, still ignites it. In His mercy and in His grace, He wants that thing lit. He wants that thing lit because He knows that's your only hope. That's your only hope. This is going on. If you sense what I'm talking about and this is hitting a chord in your life, I'm going to say, please, please stop violating this sacred light that God has given you. Young people especially. Do not keep trying to blow that thing out. That is a torch. That is the line of communication that we have with God. That God wants to keep open. That is our line of communication that we have in our inner man, our spiritual man. That we can't, if this thing goes out, all that's left is flesh. And God can't deal with flesh. God can't deal with flesh. And I do believe there is a time when the light goes out and God walks away with that torch and doesn't light it again. I believe there is that. But I don't believe that's happened to any of us. I don't believe that's happened to any of you. God never intended for our lives to be a complicated mess. But it gets pretty complicated sometimes because of the choices we make. But we need to stop crossing the line of our conscience. That line is something, that's a boundary that God has put there for your good. Not to condemn you. I want to go back to our text. 17, it says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." The conscience is one of those things that God gave us so that we can be saved. I believe that's a very critical verse in John chapter 3, verse 17. But if we believe it not, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he believeth not. So, in the context here, just as Moses was lifted up, or just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So the context is, as the Son of Man was lifted up, we are to receive that, the Son of Man, on that cross by faith for an atonement for our sins. But we need to receive that by faith. We need to do that by faith. But looking up at the Son of God hanging on a cross, and by faith receiving Him as your personal Savior, applying His precious blood to atone for your sins, and having your conscience quickened by the regenerated of your spirit, receiving Him by faith, by looking up at the man who gave His life for you, not to condemn you, but to save you from further condemnation. You know, the biggest tragedy in the world is when God's plan of salvation is not good enough for you. That's the biggest tragedy I believe that we face. Is when we look at God's plan of salvation and we say, that's not good enough. He can't save me from what I've done. That's very tragic. Because we are choosing to not believe. There's another verse here in our text. It says, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 20, it's almost the same verse. And starting in 19, it says, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence towards God. That's a beautiful verse in 21. God wants us to have confidence towards Him. God wants us to be able to come boldly before Him and not be condemned. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandment dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. Conscience testifies as to whether we are clear towards God and men, and as to whether our thoughts and actions follow the will of God and are not in any way rebellious towards Christ. Rhythm. It's the rhythm. Perfect rhythm. That's perfect peace. That's what God wants for each one of us. Joy. The Holy Ghost. Confidence towards God. That's what God wants. And when this is happening, there's something else that needs to take place. God is speaking to us. This light This light is giving us God's will, and it's not matching what we're doing. It's not, we understand all of a sudden that we're not in the will of God. Are we going to bribe with that thing? Are we going to reason with that? If our inward monitor, this pertains to us believers too, if it judges us to be wrong, then we, in fact, are wrong. If something we're doing, this thing starts skipping and it starts irregularly beating, and it's all of a sudden there's questions. It doesn't matter that we're believers. It matters how we respond to our conscience. And if our heart condemns us, are we not allowed to listen to our heart? Because God is greater than our heart. Let us not go back to reasoning or bribing with our conscience, but let us not cover our sin, but be quick to come to the cross and quick to repent. If our heart is condemning us, is God not greater? Does God not get what He deserves? God is the one that lit this light. He did it for our good. He didn't light this light to condemn us. He lit this light so that we would come to Him and respond. In repentance, I believe there should not only be a confessing and a forsaking, but a mourning of regret needs to follow. And what I mean by this is, I think there needs to be, if it's a quick confession and a quick forsaking, I'm afraid that are we mourning over, are we regretting what we have forsaken, or are we going to be quick to go back to it? If we can't find ourselves mourning over our sins that we have committed, I don't know that we'll ever truly forsake that thing. I just don't. And so I would just say that let's mourn over our sin. Hebrews 9, verse 14, it says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" 10, verse 22, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." God wants to take us deeper, like He did with the Apostle Paul. This was the secret to Paul's ministry. This was the secret to Paul's strength. That's why Paul could say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for therein is the power of God." Paul was not ashamed. Paul had the confidence to come to God in every situation. Now, it didn't mean that that Paul never repented. It just means that the way God used Paul is when that irregular heartbeat happened, he quickly fell before the Lord and repented. He didn't want this light to not. He wanted this light to be burning in him. Acts 23, verse 1, "And Paul earnestly, beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." And the reason Paul could say that is because he was very aware of his flesh. He was also very aware of his conscience. He was very aware of what he needed to do when he fell short. He repented. He didn't reason with that thing. He didn't bribe with that thing. He did what he had to do. And I'm just asking each one of us, as we consider this, let's just bow our hearts and let's just close here with a word of prayer. Father, I need this as much as anyone in this room. Father, You have ministered to my heart this morning in many ways, and I thank You so much for it. I pray, Lord, that as we consider You and what You're desiring to do, what would it take? What do You have to do to each one of us so that we could maximize, so that You could use us to Your full potential that You've created us for? What must You do to me, Lord? What must you do in my life so that I can be used more fully for your glory? Just pray, Lord, that be gracious unto us. Just pray for each one here. I pray that it could be received as from your hand. We commit this time in your hand. In Jesus' name, amen.